Hi, I'm Andrea, and you're listening to the Blooming Human Podcast. Hello, Jenna, and welcome to the Blooming Human Podcast. It's truly my honor to have you as our guest today.
Hello, I'm very honored to be here too. Thank you.
Jenna is the founder and CEO of Jenna Street, a Berlin-based company which create not only some gorgeous, but mindful, durable, and vegan designer handbags and accessories. So Jenna, before we jump off in this conversation, could you introduce yourself a little bit and tell us more about your background?
Yes, absolutely. So Jenna, I'm originally French. I moved a little bit and lived abroad for a couple of years before settling in Berlin, where I started the brand Jenna Street. Amongst the country that I lived and worked in were Bangladesh, Myanmar, and Pakistan, which really were turning points, I think, in the way that my life unfolded afterwards. For different reasons that I can elaborate on afterwards. Before starting Jenna Street, I also co-founded another brand in Berlin as well, of bags for men. And now I'm focusing on this adventure with vegan handbag and soon 100% plant-based handbags.
Wow, that's amazing. And how the idea of Jenna Street came to you? What was the motivation behind it?
When I was living in Bangladesh and Pakistan especially, I was confronted to a couple of things in my daily life that really rose questions in my head. So when it came to the pollution that I was witnessing, and when it came to the way that that the people were living due to this pollution and to this like just omnipresent pollution, I have several precise memories in Bangladesh of a lot of waste in public spaces, of rivers that had turned black, and I know that these countries are trying their best and maybe struggling a little bit in handling this crisis. But I also could witness and see that the way that we do business in our country and the way that we make certain industries work, such as the fashion industry, have a direct impact in these places, on the land and on the people and on these people's lives. Just seeing this firsthand, like really opened my eyes on things that I think are wrong in the way we do things over here. And in the way that we consume also over here. That was the first starting point. I think experiencing this in my daily life for about 2 years planted a seed in my head. And then when I came back to Europe, I co-founded with two partners a first bag brand, so for men, and that was leather bags. And that was a really incredible adventure in terms of learnings for me, in terms of starting my entrepreneurial career, but also as an artistic director. But I think that the first time I actually stepped into a tannery, I knew that I needed to, to do things differently very, very quickly, because it was not at all aligned with my values. And this is the second major thing that I saw was wrong, is, the way that we treat other species and especially animals. Within the fashion industry again, and not only, obviously, but so getting out of the leather business, basically. And this is where I started working on the side of this first business, on a different supply chain based in Italy and with 100% vegan material and ingredients. That's how Jenna Street started. And basically, I guess that what was important to me was not only to work in an industry which fascinates me, because I think fashion is super interesting and beautiful in a lot of ways, but also to spot where the issues are, because there are a lot of issues when you think that fashion is the third biggest polluter after fuel and agriculture industries, and to basically raise awareness on these problems and propose concrete solutions.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. And so this is, so you weren't vegan at that time when you came back from Bangladesh.
I was seriously transitioning, let's say. And so, yeah, there was an overlap at some point where I was vegetarian and still having my feet in leather. I mean, you know, metaphorically. And that was a big, I could feel the imbalance within me. But that was also an incredible motor. Like the fact that I think at some point it's great to just go for it and experience it, because then your whole, like all your senses and your emotion are immersed into the experience. And from this, you can really use the energy to, you know, to make the change and to make the step. Because otherwise, you know, for a lot of people, I think it's still like numbers and articles that they read, but it doesn't impact their life like deeply enough for them to make that change. And so I think for me, it was very important to actually go through these processes before I could also, you know, speak about the cause in general of, a vegan lifestyle.
Of course.
And why it's important. Yeah.
It totally makes sense. And immersing yourself in some cultures and society as Bangladesh or Pakistan, I know that's not a common experience, but I'm sure it is one that will be always in your heart. And it's very inspiring to know your story and know that you could have done anything after traveling to those countries, really. But you decided to change how things are done and stepping outside the box to create Jenny Street.
Yeah, and I mean, I still feel that it's definitely not enough, and I definitely want to do more, but you have to start somewhere. So this is where I'm starting, and I hope that I can do way more in the future.
And it's a big start. And so the name Jenna Street, so the Jenna in this name has an H at the end. So it's kind of your name, but it's not. So what's the story behind the name of the brand?
So Jenna means a paradise, heaven in Arabic. It's not necessarily autographed like this because it's not the same alphabet, but this is what it means. And street, like basically the combination of Jenna and street is paradise, heaven, street. And the point is to have a positive business that have a positive impact on the world and like a little virtual paradise, basically.
That's very nice. So it's kind of the perfect name for the perfect product. And so this brand was born sustainable and having some very strong values that are not negotiable, right? And what does sustainability mean to you? What does it mean for Jenna Street?
I think sustainability means, for me at least, means looking at the impact that I leave behind on all levels of my life and asking myself and asking the company, you know, are we in harmony with the environment? Are we in harmony with its living species? Are we in harmony with the other human beings that we interact with or do business with? On a day-to-day basis. And I think it's looking at what you're doing overall, in our case, also at our materials, at our supply chain, and having the courage to question what has been done so far. And if that's not satisfying, then build a plan, which doesn't have to be, you know, tomorrow, to be perfect tomorrow. We're far from perfect at this moment, but just to have this direction, this long-term commitment to reduce our impact and to increase a positive impact. I also think that sustainability comes with time. It means, you know, looking at long-term achievements rather than short wins. But also, like in our case, it's again, looking at the whole supply chain, at from the design to the afterlife of the bag, and work on closing the loop to attain circularity, over, you know, trying to make something which is trendy now and produce it quickly and cheap and try to surf on the wave and then become irrelevant unless you continue this crazy race, which is for us absolutely not the point. And then on another level, of course, I think sustainability, if you look at, you know, favorizing your life balance and self-care, which will lead to vitality and productivity versus health shortcuts and burnout. Like, it could also be, mean this. It's like, I think it's a really a holistic approach to the way one lives, but also does business.
Yeah, I totally agree with you with the word harmony.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect description for sustainability. And it's kind of the logical way to go for me too. Like, we're in this planet and businesses exist because of this planet. So it makes total sense to put our nature and communities first. And now that you've mentioned closing the loop, like going, thinking sustainable from the design to the afterlife of a product, I was digging a little bit about your sustainable practices within GenStreet, and I came across two different interested practices. So one is called the Community Lab, and the other one is GenStreet Circular Bag Program. So can you tell us more about those two?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Community Lab is comes before the product is created, and the Circular Bag Program comes afterwards. So the Community Lab is basically a way to stay as close as possible from our audience and our followers by basically it's a flow of mini surveys where we make sure that we always evolve in fine-tuned with the people who follow us. So we'll ask various questions, and at the end of each surveys, depending on the theme, you would answer questions about the brand direction, about, you know, the way we communicate, and especially about the new designs and the new collection that we're coming up with. And you would be able to leave us, you know, to give your opinion, so that we produce less and smaller collections, but collections that are relevant because they have been validated by our community first, so that we don't produce just with closed eyes. And so that's the Community Lab. And at the end of each survey, there's little surprises as well as a little incentive for people to, you know, to go through it. And the Circular Bag Program is something that we've developed already, which is going to become way bigger and even more interesting. And once we switch to our new plant-based material, basically it's a way for people who have owned their bags, their GenStreet bag, for at least 6 months, and cherished it and, you know, enjoyed it, but want to try a new design or are not necessarily using it because they want another one or they need another one, to send it back to us so that we can freshen it up and put it into a second consumption circle, because the bags are really, really resistant and durable. And so we're confident that we can do this after a little freshen up, or that we can reuse parts of the material and the accessories, which are in Zamak, so they can be remolded as well. So that's the first step as of today. And then when we switch to our plant-based material, we are developing a partnership with our material supplier in order for them to be able to take the material back and make new products out of it, and or biodegrade it, because they're testing also the material for biodegradability. So, I mean, the loop would be like 95% closed, which is super exciting.
Wow, that's very well thought. And a lot of companies will create, most of them, I would say, will create products that really no one wants, and then they will end up in landfills. But you taking those steps, those extra two steps, are really changing the world, and I'm sure your customers really appreciate it, and of course the environment too. So maybe to put the company on a context, can you walk us through about the materials you use, the different steps you have to follow to create a GenStreet product?
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of the creation of the collection, so it all starts with drawings. that I make usually, I mean always, and like basically finding inspiration and start sketching afterwards. You know, it's putting together basically all the elements and making technical sketches. So for this, I'm being helped by someone who actually, you know, studied this and has the knowledge to put everything, yeah, in technical language. In between these two steps, we usually start talking to the community lab and start asking questions and feedbacks about what we're working on at the moment. To already have a set of answers and you know, making sure that we're going in the right direction, and then basically we go to prototyping, and then once everything is validated, we can actually produce the collection and launch it. What we're going to do for the new collection though is have like an extra layer of validation, because we want to pre-launch the collection with our community lab and online, and basically making sure that we have that we reach a certain number of orders before we produce, because I think that it is like the perfect, you know, stamp to continue, and so yeah, just be on the lookout. and really, regarding the materials, so the first collection is made of a certified eco-label certified PU, so it's a synthetic material at the moment that we're using. It is extremely like durable. It's a very beautiful fabric. Most people don't even realize it's not leather, which is the best compliment that you can make. And so that's incredible. However, I've made it you know, part of my absolute goal is to go plant-based, so to stay vegan but also vegetal, so not relying anymore on synthetic for the new collection, but have a material that is 100% vegetal.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited about it. We're working with suppliers that are basically a material that's completely innovative. It's not on the market yet. That's also the reason why it takes so long to develop. But it's worth it. It's definitely worth it.
And when is this new collection made from plant-based coming?
So we're going to prototyping in the next weeks. And after this, we'll be ready to pre-launch in the spring, hopefully. Yeah.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. That's amazing, really. And so as we talked at the beginning of this conversation, this brand is really the opposite of fast fashion. And you have seen firsthand the problems of fast fashion when you traveled. So how bad and big can you say this fast fashion industry is?
So I think it's, first of all, it's everywhere to the point that we don't even realize it. I think it has become fully part of our consuming habits. I think, you know, when I was a kid versus when I was a teenager, it completely changed. It was completely fine to go when I was like, I don't know, 20 or to go out and to think, okay, I'm going to pick up this cool top or this dress just for tonight.
Yeah.
And I may never wear it again. And like, I don't even think about it, right? And I think now there is more and more awareness about the fact that there is an issue, that obviously if a t-shirt are, you know, cost 10 euros, but it was produced in Cambodia and it had to come, and all these people in the chain and all the intermediary had to be paid, like, there is obviously a huge issue. It just doesn't make sense economically unless you sell volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes. And when I was before we talked, I was actually looking at some numbers about the market size of fast fashion, because I was really actually hoping to see something that I liked, but I actually saw that the trend is actually that this market is still growing. So just to give you an idea, in 2019, the market was valued globally at $36 billion. And then in 2029, it is projected to be $43 billion. So basically, yeah, like a continued growth. Of course, with COVID, it has diminished a little bit. These numbers were pre-COVID, but the trend, I mean, is still at the increase. And so I think it is absolutely crucial that this whole wave of, you know, awareness and awakening towards mindful consumption grows and reaches a critical mass of people, because otherwise we will have a huge, huge issue. And again, like I said earlier, I mean, when you look at these numbers and you realize that the fashion industry is the third biggest polluting industry in the world, mostly because of CO2 emissions and of the mass of clothes that are wasted, that go to waste, which is as of last year, 85% of all clothes produced that are going to waste each year. We need to look at reality in the eyes and start voting with our wallet.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why our dollars count.
Exactly.
And we are deciding where do we want to put those dollars. So yeah, like companies like yours make totally sense. And well, thank you for sharing your brave, inspiring sustainability journey with Jenna Streets. And maybe can you share with us where our listeners can go and maybe buy some products or know more about the brand?
Yeah, absolutely. So on our website, www.jenah-st.com. We're also on Instagram, jenah-st as well. On LinkedIn, we share a little bit more, industry knowledge, which could be also very insightful. And if you go there, you will find on Instagram or our website, you will find the community lab that you can join as well.
Perfect. And the products are just for the European market now, or do you ship internationally?
We do ship internationally. So anywhere in the world, we can find you.
Great. That's amazing. Well, yeah. So, before going into the end of this episode, I just wanted to mention and congratulate you for the winning of the 2020 PETA Germany Vegan Fashion Award. So congratulations on that. And that's huge, not only for your brand, but also for the vegan industry out there.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I was very proud of this. I think it is it's a very nice, you know, also push in the back, because sometimes this adventure can, I mean, it is obviously challenging, and it felt really, really nice to be supported by such an organization as PETA. So yeah, I hope that the next collection also makes it to the to the awards.
For sure, yes, don't doubt about it. So I would like to end this episode by asking you a small advice that you can give us all about one thing we can do to reduce our consumption in general.
Well, I think it's like with everything in life, just start asking yourself questions and start looking for some, you know, for answers, and create then your own opinion on the topic. I think that's more for the theory and, you know, the intellectual answer. And then on the very practical answer is like when you're in a store or when you have this urge to buy something, you just stop, you breathe. And you ask yourself, do I really need this? Or why do I feel this impulse of buying this? And just asking yourself this very question, maybe you will just, you know, step out, think about it. And then if you really want it, or if you really want to buy this new dress or this new bag, or like, you know, again, use your money to support the world you want to see tomorrow. Is this brand that I want to buy from part of the problem, or is it already part of tomorrow's solution for like a more compassionate world for yourself and for the next generations.
Wow, that's a very powerful advice. So thank you for that. Totally agree with you. And thank you for having Jenna Street. It's the future, really. So thank you for that, for taking that extra step to create a conscious brand. And I will leave all Jenna Street social media channels and website for everyone to check them out and also to buy some of the amazing products if you want. And before ending this episode, Jenna, would you like to end with a message or say anything else?
Just that thank you very much. I'm super happy to see that, also that your podcast is gathering so many inspiring personalities and initiatives, and I think it's the kind of again of initiative that is very, very important to give people the keys, you know, to take certain steps in their lives. So yeah, thanks a lot to you as well. That was my extra message.
No, thank you. Well, thank you again, Jenna, for being my guest today and for fighting against global warming and animal cruelty with your brand every day. So thank you. That was it for today's episode. I hope you guys enjoy it and learn something new. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and check our website for more tips and information on how to live sustainably. Feel free to share this podcast with your friends, family, network, so we can grow this community. Thank you, and until next episode. Bye!